This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today. Friends, God bless you. I've just got one opening that's going to play all week for this broadcast this week. You're going to hear a sermon I preached a couple weeks ago at Island Community Church. This week, we're going to be looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to be looking at the second chapter. So that's what's going to be airing this week. Hope you enjoy this program. Hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving as well. I'm going to be spending some precious time at home with my wife here at the end of this week. So this program is going to be airing all week. Well, it's about a 45-minute sermon, and it's cut up into five parts. So now for more information on this ministry, you can go to WGODradio.com. That's our website. Facebook page is WGOD Radio. And even on Twitter at WGOD Radio, these programs and Sunday sermons are uploaded on those social media sites, usually within a day that they're recorded. Speaking of Sundays, you are invited out to Island Community Church. Now, this coming week, we'll be wrapping up the book of 2 Thessalonians. We'll be looking at chapter 3 this week, Sunday morning at 10:30. You're invited. We'd love to see you out this week at Island. Now, we'll be back again here next week as we continue our study here in the book of Acts here on the radio, on WGOD Radio. We've been looking at Acts. I've been taking some time here playing some Sunday sermons just because I got a lot going on in my family right now. So you're hearing some of the sermons I've been preaching at church. But rest assured, we'll be back in the book of Acts again here shortly. So enjoy this message now this week, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2.
For you, brethren, you became followers of the churches of God which are in Judea and in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered the things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Now listen to this horrendous description. Who, speaking of Jews, both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. They please not God and are contrary to all men. He's not done forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles so that they might be saved, filling up their sin always, for the wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost. Wow. What an absolutely scathing condemnation, isn't it, of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel? It doesn't get any worse than that. Seven things. Six sins and one punishment as a result of them. The first thing they did, they killed the Son of God. You know, you hear it all the time, you know, people, well, you know, you and I killed the Son of God by our sins. Well-meaning people, and that's right. For one person, I believe Jesus would have gone up on the cross and died. For you, he would have done it. And you, if you were the only one. He loves you that much, he would have died for you. And he did die for you, as if you were the only one. But the Jewish people have a little bit extra condemnation here on them. They killed the Son of God. And then loudly proclaimed, prominently proclaim and declared, His blood be on us and on our children. Note to self, maybe you shouldn't have said that. They killed the Son of God. Second thing, they killed their own prophets. Matthew 23:37, Jesus said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not, or ye were not willing. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Number three, they persecuted the Christian believers. It's mainly because of the persecution of the Jews, the gospel spread around the world. And isn't that just like God to take sin and evil and cause good to come out of it, right? That's what he did with Paul. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says, Saul wreaked havoc on the church, entering every house and hailing men and women and committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad. Therefore, those that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. All because of Paul's sin. Paul's fourth condemnation of the Jews. They don't please God. They might think that they do. The Lord says, These things I've spoken to you so that you should not be offended. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. That's John 16, 1 through 3. Condemnation number 5. They're contrary to all men. Contrary meaning they're against everyone. They're against the Romans. They're against the Gentiles. They're against the Christians. They're against God. Goodness, who are these people for anyway? They're contrary to everyone. Number 6. This could be the worst of all on here. Last one. They deliberately withhold salvation from ethnic groups. The Gentiles. What do you think? Whose will are they doing? God's or Satan's? And lastly, number 7. I wrote condemnation number 7, and certainly that's what it would be. The wrath of God is upon them to the uttermost. Who wants the wrath of God on them to the uttermost? Raise your hand. Goodness. I can't imagine. And to that I say again, yikes. And remember, Paul's letters are divine and inspired by God. All right, let me read this last commentary on this. This comes from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. The manifestation of God's wrath that Paul had in mind in this verse is debatable. It's either one of four things here. Number one, perhaps he was referring to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in AD 70. Number two, maybe he had in mind of God's turning from the Jews to create for himself a unique body of believers made up of Jews and Gentiles who now stand on equal footing, Ephesians 2:13. Number three, maybe Paul was thinking of the wrath of God that's on every individual who fails to believe in Christ. Or number four, this is where I fall. This wrath he's talking about may refer to the tribulation, which will assuredly come upon them because of their rejection of Jesus Christ. This was probably his thought, since in other contexts in this epistle, where he speaks of the wrath to come, Paul has the tribulation in mind. All right, all I can say to this is, my, how the mighty have fallen, huh? How in the world did the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders and the teachers of the law, how did they miss this so bad? So let me send you home confused today and read to you Romans chapter 11, verse 7. Now remember, we're not meeting Wednesday night, so you've got a whole week to think about this and bombard me next Sunday. Romans chapter 11, verse 7. I'm taking my phone off the hook. What happened to the Jews? What happened? Did they do this on their own? Did they have help? Romans chapter 11, verse 7. Israel has not obtained what it seeks. All right, what were the Jews seeking? The righteousness of God. Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect. Who's the elect? Last week, anyone here last week? You, remember, God elected you? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. As it is written, verse 8, first three words. God has given. Not Satan has given. Satan's given your Uncle Mary and your Aunt Harry, not the Jews. Where is that in the Bible? 2 Corinthians 4:4. For the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that are lost, so that they won't believe in the glorious gospel. Not so here. Here it says, God has given them a spirit of stupor. The Greek word is katanuxeos. It means a total bewilderment or a drunken stupor. Have you ever seen anyone in a drunken stupor before? And imagine it wasn't Gilby's or Dewar's that did it to you, but God did it to you? God has given them a spirit of stupor. King James says slumber. They're sleepwalking. God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they see not, and bow down their backs always. I say then, had they stumbled that they should fall? What does he say? Heaven forbid, God forbid. Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. So all of this was and is God's plan all along. I leave you with this question. Did this sovereign act of God, giving the Jews a spirit of stupor, was this given after the fact as punishment? Or was it given before the fact, bringing about the unbelief? Lord, we thank you for your word.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I love to hear the voice of